Every time I stand here, I want you to know that I feel my insufficiencies. I want you to know that I pray to the same God you pray to. I want you to know that I face things in life just like you do. The enemy of my soul is out there trying to do everything he can to trip me up along the way. And I find that I have to steal away at times and pour out my heart to Him with my battles and my strengths or my weaknesses and ask Him to help in those places. I have to ask Him to take those things that might be my strengths or what I perceive my strengths and to temper them and make them in a way that would be pleasing to Him, that could be useful to Him for His kingdom and His cause and to my fellow man. And those things where I am weak and frail, I ask Him to raise those up so that I can be a help to my fellow man and to the kingdom of the Lord and do everything I can in working for Him. I know you do the same thing because you have strengths and weaknesses. And so this morning, as I stand here, as I do each time I ask for your prayers, I ask for it today too. And I know that the Lord that we serve loves us every one, and He's going to do everything He can to help us. I want you to know that we're all in this battle together, praying for one another, asking the God of heaven and His Son Jesus to have mercy on our souls, so that when we come to the end of the journey, having done the best that we know to do by following the Word of God and the framework He set out for us, doing the best that we can in navigating the course of life, with the anticipation and hope of hearing Him say, "Well done, thou faithful servant." In my mind, I think if I hear those words, "Well done," it's going to be like my mouth will drop open. "Do you really mean it, Lord?" With all of the things that have happened in life, all of the things that I have had to deal with, all the times that I have failed, all the times that I have had to go back and retrace steps, "You mean well done?" I believe the Lord, when He says those words, will mean, "You have done what you could to follow my way. You made mistakes. You made blunders along the way. But I know whenever you had those places, you turned to me and you asked me for help. And you asked me for forgiveness. And you asked me to be your grace and your strength." May God help us each one along the way to look to Him. This morning, I'd like to turn to the book of Proverbs in the very first chapter. I hardly know how to put a title to this little bird today, but I guess I'll just say this word, listening. Listening. It's important to listen. We can hear without listening. I can hear noises without trying to comprehend what it is. I can hear voices without paying attention to what's being said. Have you ever heard someone speaking and your voice has trailed off to what you're going to do in the next 20 or 30 minutes? You might be doing that with me today. You might hear my words, but your mind isn't really on the words that are being spoken. You're not really listening. You are hearing, but what you're thinking about is what we're going to do later. We can do that as human beings. I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of not always listening. I'm guilty of hearing things but not listening. But here's some passages, some scriptures rather, in this passage in the book of Proverbs that I'd like for us to look at for a little while this morning. In the first chapter, verse 2 beginning, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding." This is the purpose, I believe, the writer is trying to lay out for this book of Proverbs. What his mind was, what his hope was, what his intention was, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The first doctrine taught here, the first element that he wants to lay out, is to know that it's in the fear of the Lord, or devotion to God, which is the beginning of knowledge and understanding. If we put Him first, if we put God in His rightful place, to have respect for Him, reverence for Him, then that opens us up for the opportunity to receive instruction from Him. I have often wondered, how do you define wisdom? There's several definitions I've read of application of knowledge. You have a lot of knowledge and not know how to use it. You have a lot of things that are in your mind and not know what to do with them. One of the explanations that I read and heard, and I thought it was pretty good, maybe just a little bit comical, but I thought it made sense. Knowledge is knowing how to use a handgun or a weapon. Wisdom is knowing when to keep it in the holster. I can shoot off all kinds of bullets. I can shoot off all kinds of things and do all kinds of damage. Or, I can have wisdom. I can know that when I pull this gun and it has ammunition in it and I start pulling the trigger, I know what it's going to do. But wisdom tells me, keep it in the holster until the appropriate time, until it's needed. So may the Lord help us to know how to apply knowledge and wisdom, how to attain to it. So now we come down to verse 20. That's where I'd like to pick up in this book. One heading calls this the call of wisdom. Wisdom is inanimate, but in this passage it's personified. It's not conscious of individual feelings. It is a principle. Wisdom is a principle. If you touch a hot stove, you're going to be burned. That's what's going to happen. The heat is indiscriminate. Wisdom is indiscriminate. If I choose to reject it, then I am going to pay the consequences of it. So here, this call of wisdom is personified. I have heard, and I'm not going to quibble with it much, but I have heard folks ascribe these next words that we're about to read to God Himself. I don't necessarily say that God is saying these words. This is the passage, the call of wisdom. This is talking about wisdom and the things that we have opportunity that are set before us to know and understand, to attain to gain knowledge. And if we make a choice to reject it, there's a price to pay. We're going to read that. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. It's not something that is concealed. It's not something that is hidden. It's not something that's done in secret, but it's done openly. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. It's not as though the things that you and I have opportunity to learn are unique to only a certain class, are unique to just certain individuals. It is open to all. In the very few verses we read in the first of this chapter, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion, a wise man will hear, will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So it covers the gamut. The young, the old, the man who already has knowledge and understanding, the man who already has some wisdom, will hear these words and will apply them to his heart and his mind, and he will gain more. And I say, amen, Lord, will you please help me? Will you please help me as I read and as I am taught, as I am instructed, that I will not just hear, but I will listen. And I will pay attention to the counsel that you have for me so that I can, if I have any knowledge and understanding, if I have any wisdom, if I am a man that has any level of wisdom at all, that I will increase in my wisdom. If I don't have it, if I don't have knowledge and understanding, if I don't have wisdom, that I will begin to open the door to it so that I may attain to it. Thank God, folks, that He has made it possible for every one of us to be able to attain to wisdom. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. How long will you spurn these things? How long will you push these things aside? How long will you say that there's no benefit? How long will you love simplicity? How long will you scorners delight in scorning? How long will fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. This is wisdom personified, crying out to individuals, turn away from that type of thinking. Turn away from that mindset. Turn away from loving ignorance. Turn away from the foolish ways. My cry to you, wisdom says, turn at my reproof. When you understand that if you touch that hot stove, your hands are going to get burned, you don't touch the hot stove anymore. It is a very rare situation that if somebody does not know how to feel pain, they don't recognize pain. It happens, but it's a rare situation. But what the Lord is saying to us here is when this is something that everyone has an opportunity to know and understand. Even the simplest can have some understanding. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Now here is where it starts to show the side of the penalty for not heeding. Because I have called, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. What an awful state of affairs is listed next. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why not? For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. You see, folks, the choice is up to us. There are things that are set before us every day that we have an opportunity to gain from. Scripture, I believe it's in the book of Job, I can't quote it exactly, but it says something like this. Talking about a man complaining against his maker and being brought into account or being made aware of the sins of his soul. And he has a complaint about that. And really the response is because it's every day is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us. It's a time that we should give thanks. It's an opportunity for us to learn something. It's an opportunity for us to learn something more about God and more about ourselves, as painful as that may be. But every day that we have opportunity to learn more about ourselves in relationship, and with this as a backdrop, with the wise counsel of the Lord as the backdrop, if I choose to learn these things about myself and move on and gain ground, then I have turned at the reproof of wisdom. I have heard the reproof. I have accepted the reproof. I have gained instruction from the reproof. And by the help of God, and if I will continue to follow that, I can make myself a better man. Or I can have that opportunity presented to me. I can brush it off. I can pass it off. I can say they don't know what they're talking about. I know better. I can do it my own way. And I find myself at odds, at variance with wisdom. Knowledge comes from God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If I will follow that course, that path, it will open things to my mind. If I start to refuse instruction and understanding, I am kicking against the very God of creation. You heard me maybe tell a story about a young man that I worked with many, many years ago. I had a short stint as a service manager in a shop, in a car auto repair facility. And in that place, I was responsible for the service area. And there was a young man that was hired as a mechanic. I had been the mechanic in that shop. And they hired this young man as a mechanic after they promoted me to service manager. And he had been in school. And when he came in to the shop, they unloaded his toolbox. It was a Snap-on toolbox. It was head high. And it was shiny, 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 looked nice. And his tools were shiny and looked nice. And I look back on those kinds of things and I realize what that means. If everything that you have, in your arsenal is all so shiny and looks so brand new, it hasn't been used. You haven't done much with it. So, and I knew this young man was pretty well fresh out of school. And I remember having to go back over so many jobs that he did. Well, now, I can't say a whole lot because I had some of the same kind of things whenever I first started out. The guys would have to go back and retrace some of my steps. And they would tell me what I had done wrong and show me where I had made my blunder. And I would try to learn from that and remember not to do that next time. But I remember, maybe remember recently talking about where my certifications were in automotive mechanics. I was in brakes and front end suspension. So I knew how to do front end alignments on an automobile. I had done hundreds of them. And I knew how to do it. And I knew how to read the machinery. I knew how to calibrate it. I knew how to read the manual. I knew where to find the specs for each vehicle. I knew what tolerances there were. I knew how much tolerance could be allowed for each vehicle and still maintain drivability and good tire wear. I knew those things. I knew it. So this young man, He would go down the pit to do an alignment on a vehicle. And the customer would drive away in their vehicle. And I kept noticing some comebacks. Customer come back with complaints of drivability. They would tell me what it was doing. I'd go drive the vehicle and sure enough, it's pulling to the right hand. It's pulling to the left hand. It's drifting. All right. Get down the pit, hook everything up, check it out. Settings were off. Get it fixed up, customer leave, with no trouble. It's one particular day, a customer comes in with a complaint of drivability. I pulled the car into the rack, hooked it up, checked it. Things were way off. I unhooked it, backed the car out, went through all of the calibration maneuvers. Everything was fine on the machinery, on the equipment. Pulled it back in. Hooked up the equipment. It was way off. So at this point, honestly, my patience had run a little thin. And I called him over. I said, come take a look at this. I showed him all the things that we're supposed to do, the procedure, technique. I said, did you do these things when you aligned this vehicle? Yes, I did. It's not a week or two later like they've gone down the road and hit a pothole or run off the road into the ditch and got their car cleaned up. This was immediate. I said, then why are these numbers so way off the charts. That's where it's supposed to be. I said, did you look at the spec book to see where, for this vehicle, did you look at the spec book to see where these numbers are? He said, the book's wrong. The book's wrong. Do you know, folks, that that's how many times we approach things? Of people that have knowledge, understanding, counsel, wisdom, experience, the Word of God. Do you know that we are so arrogant as human beings that as we follow our own way and want to do our own thing, and then we want to kick and fuss and squabble and squall and cry when things don't go right? And our excuse is, the book's wrong. Well, now, we may not say those words. Those words may not come out of our mouths. But we act like, by my understanding, since I know what's going on here, that young man actually was going to argue with me that day and tell me that I didn't know what to do and that the book was wrong. My next step was to walk out of that pit and walk into the store manager's office and say, if you don't, I will. Got to go. This man you can't teach. The book's wrong. At some point, you see, wisdom cries. It doesn't do it quietly. Say, if you'll listen to me, I'm over here. If you'll pay attention, I've got something for you. No, it cries aloud. It cries aloud by those who have had experience, by those who have had understanding and have learned how to use the things that they have. It comes from those who have their tools, their wrenches, and you look at them and all the paint's rubbed off. And they've got scratches and scars on the equipment that they use, and it's that way because it is used. It's that way because it has put into practice. It's that way because they have learned how to use it. And in some guys, there were things that I learned in working with two men that were very helpful to me. They would show me what to do with and how to modify some of my tools to make them work in situations that where a wrench wouldn't fit in a certain place. They had learned, they had understood, they had found out that if you will do this, Mike, let me show you. If you'll do this, that will take care of that problem. You'll be able to get that wrench right down in there and it'll fit. I had to take a brand new 3/4-inch wrench and grind half of it on the wrench side, on the closed end side, grind half of it off so it would fit down in the slot. But you know what? I worked and I worked and I worked and I worked and I couldn't get it to work and I couldn't get anything to fit and I couldn't get it to come out and I couldn't make it work until they said, grind the thickness in half. And now your wrench will fit down in there and it'll work just fine. So I went to grinding. I only had to do that one time, you see. Only one time, because after that I knew that that situation required this wrench and I had it. It was in my box. Those are the kinds of things, folks, that you and I should learn as we go through life, as we experience things in life. We begin to know, I know that these tools will turn nuts and bolts. I know they will tighten. I know they will loosen nuts and bolts. I know it's not supposed to be used as a hammer, but in a pinch, if I need to tap something with it, I can. I know that I know how to make them work for me and not work against me. Wisdom, folks, is designed by the Word of God to work for us. God didn't set anything in place to work against us. There's not one thing that God has made that is against you and me. Everything that He has available to us is for our advancement. I think of the things that man has been able to do by the exercise of their mind in the advancement of society and of science and so many things in the advancements that God has given to us. May Lord help us to know how to use these things. Because when your fear comes, when hard times come, if you have said it not all the counsel, wisdom personified, if you have chosen to just turn your back on me, on wisdom, then guess what? When the time comes that you need some wisdom and you need understanding to know how to work with this situation, and you've rejected me all through life, you have taken your own way, you didn't want to learn from me, I can't help you when you get there. I can't help you when you get in that difficult place if you have chosen, if you have made your choice to turn your back on me, wisdom, and now you come to a place where you need me, wisdom, and you have rejected me. I can't help you. I can't help you. You haven't taken advantage of the things that could have brought you to the place where today you can make this step with knowledge, understanding, and wisdom and experience. But you've chosen to turn your back on all of that. They would none of my counsel. They despise my reproof. Verse 31. Therefore, shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. In other words, if the simple just decides, I'm going to turn away, I'm just going to turn away when wisdom cries, I'm not going to hear it, I'm going to stop my ears, I'm going to go the other direction. When wisdom cries, if I'm not going to listen, I'm going to walk away from it, the turning away will slay them. Prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Matthew Henry says, God does declare His mind to sinners and give them warning as plainly as that which is proclaimed in the streets or courts of judicature by the criers. God in His Word not only opens the case, but argues it with the children of men. Not just about the soul, not just about sin. Folks, the truth of the matter is, I'm satisfied that the Word of God, if we'll really look into it, has answers for everything we need in life. But it takes me being willing to get in there and dig. It takes me being willing to take the time to apply it. It takes me being willing to look into it. It takes me being willing to open my mind and let the Lord speak to me. When I'm in a quiet place, when I'm in a place of distress, when I need understanding, if I have made it a habit in life to open my mind to instruction, if I've made it a habit to listen to wisdom, I may not know how to apply it today. I might not even have the knowledge. When I hear wisdom spoken, I might not even have the knowledge to know how to even apply the wisdom that was just spoken. But this is my experience, that if I continue to grow and I gain knowledge, there will come a day when I reach a point where, oh, now I understand what wisdom meant so many years ago when I heard the counsel that was given and I didn't understand it then because I didn't have the knowledge, I didn't have the education. But now I've come to the place where I've learned the ABCs and the 1-2-3s, and I wasn't sure how to apply all those things. But I remember that Brother Jones stood up and made a comment one night, and it sounded so good, but I wasn't sure that I understood it. Now I understand, because he had a voice of experience. And since I have learned now some of the pieces of the puzzle that started to come together, now I know how to apply what I have learned. Now, instead of just brandishing my weapon and flashing it all over wherever I go, I know when to put it in the holster. I know when to put it away. I know when it's time to use it and when it's time not to. Jesus said these words in Matthew 11:19. The very last phrase of this last sentence in this verse, Matthew 11:19. Wisdom is justified of her children. What that means is, if you personify wisdom and she has children, then her children are going to be wisdom. And the things that they learn, the things that they know, the things that they understand, wisdom is justified by her children. By the things that follow behind her, the things that they have learned, the things that they have found out how to put into practice. And I say again, as I said before we began this morning, Lord, help me I'm a human being just as you are. I have battles in life just like you do. I have to go to God for understanding just like you do. I have to go to Him for counsel and instruction and direction just like anybody else does. When I make a mistake, I want somebody to correct me. When I've done something I shouldn't have done, I'm much better off if someone will tell me, you shouldn't have done that. I'm much better off. And I am certainly much better off if, when they say to me, you shouldn't have done that, I don't tell them that the book was wrong. If my attitude and my mindset is, book's wrong. You're wrong. I'm right. Well, we can watch the path. We can see the direction. You see the course. Trace the course. And find out whether it was right or wrong. Wisdom is justified of her children. You pray for me. God bless each one. Amen. You've heard me tell the story. If you have, I beg your patience with it. It's been many years ago. I pulled up to an old gentleman's house. I was delivering a package to him. His driveway was dry, dry, dusty. And it was dry. Hot, dry. Had been for quite a while. And as I was trying to go slow to keep dust from boiling, there just wasn't much I could do because it was like powder. Pulled up to the gentleman's house, made my back around to get ready to leave. I walked up to him. I said, it sure is hot, isn't it, sir? He said, yes, son, it sure is. I said, it's dry. We need some rain awful bad. He said, well, I don't guess we do, or the good Lord would send us some rain. And I thought, can't argue with that. Handed off the package, turned around and walked back to my truck, and I thought, the rest of the day, I don't guess we do, or the good Lord would send us some rain. In my mind, it was a voice of experience. A voice of one who had understood that these things are in God's control. We can kick against it all day long. We can fuss, fit, fume, fight. We're not going to change it. Let Him have His way. It's the best way.